The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Victor. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's the On Point with Victor show. It is going to be that kind of day. I can tell already. My goodness. I mean, folks, listen, this is live radio and things happen. And I just ran into the studio by the skin of my teeth and made it here because of an accident out there. And normally I plan for those things, but today has just been one of those days. And on top of that, it's raining here in the city. But anyway, this is the On Point with Victor show, and I am Victor Armendariz. And you're tuned into the America's Web Radio station. Unless you're listening later, you might be on listening on Spotify or Apple Podcast or Intune Podcast or any other. However you're listening to this show, thank you very much for listening. We've got great listeners all over the place. I hear from you all the time, and cannot thank you enough. I thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of you listeners. We've got some cool things we're going to get into today. Today I'm going to kick off a series. Now, you guys know, you guys who listen to me all the time, you know that I do not do guests very often on my show. I don't take phone calls very often, and I don't do guests very often. I take more phone calls than I have guests on the show. Now, when I'm filling in for Eric Erickson or anyone else, I'll take phone calls like crazy. But it's just, this is just a different type of setup here at the America's Web Radio Studios, and it's not as easy to do. But I have so little time here and so much to tell you that really you just need to sit back and hear me talk. that's just the way it is. But today I'm going to kick off a series that's, we're going to call it the candidate series. Sitting with a candidate, because we're in election season. So election season is the time that you'll actually see, a couple of guests come on my show. I don't let everyone come on, and I've got to like you to let you come on. No, I'm kidding. Look, if you're a candidate and you're willing to sit down and speak issues. Now, I do have rules. If you're a candidate and you come in here and you sit here and you just try to raise money, I'm going to kick you off. I'm not going to let candidates come in and do that. I'm not going to let them come in and just pander for money. If you're a candidate and you're going to be on my show, you're going to talk about what you're going to do, why you're running, and what are you going to do for the citizens. And doesn't matter what you're running for. It could be state level or city level, or could be federal level. Want to know what you're going to do for the people. What's your vision for a better America? And that should be every candidate's platform, who's not a Democrat, because the Democrats have no idea what's better for America. But if you're a libertarian, an independent, and a Republican, and you're running for any office, your tagline should be what you're going to do to make America better, what your vision for a better America is. Because there is a better America out there. We are Americans. It is in our soul. It is in our spirit to do better. It's in our spirit to be the best. And right now this country is being constrained by a dementia-led Democrat party that's putting the brakes on the ingenuity of Americans. Listen, there's not much you can do to hold an American back. I mean, the Americans, we have ingenuity like none other. We will fight and we will fight and we'll fight. Those of us who have the drive. And it's inherent in the American spirit to have the drive to succeed and to help others. But you can't help others if you can't succeed. If you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of others? Now, the dementia patient and the White House and the Democrats, they just like to dip into somebody else's pocket, and they want to take credit. They want to take your money, give it to somebody, and pretend that they're helping them, and then convince that person that they pretend to be helping that it's them that's doing it, not the fact that they stole money from your pocket. I mean, the Democrats just have this all wrong. All wrong. But like I said, even with Democrats, even with the dementia patient right now, just beating us down as hard as he can go, he's driving gas prices up. Ladies and gentlemen, that is no mistake. This is not by chance. This is not because of Russia. This is not because of Ukraine. This is not because of China. Joe Biden and the Democrats and their stupid, dumb religion of climate and their green initiatives, let's just call them green initiatives, but those policies are driving gas prices up for poor Americans, low, middle to middle class to upper middle. They're hurting the very people that they pretend to help. Because gas prices is a huge, huge burden on the lower income families. And the hardworking entrepreneurs that are out there, gas prices are rising gas prices are a death sentence to a lot of small businesses, to the trucking industry. But to lower income families, my goodness, gas prices. And not to mention grocery prices going through the roof. They're still going up. Inflation. Look, inflation is a tax on the poor. Inflation is a tax on the poor. So Democrats can run around all they want with their schemes of income redistribution, and they can try to convince that a lot of the poor and the low income people that the Democrats will try to convince you they're for you, and they'll dip into other people's pockets, steal money from them, seize money, I should say. They're seizing money from other people. And they're trying to do all these programs. And after they make themselves rich, and after they make their donors rich, then you might get a few breadcrumbs. You might get just enough to buy your beer, buy your wings, and watch your football game. Because if you're buying your wings and drinking your beer and watching the NFL draft, then you're not paying attention to what they're doing to you. I mean, I was astounded. But look, I couldn't tell you the name of one player that was drafted last weekend. And had I not been blasting in commercials, I wouldn't have known there was an NFL draft last weekend. But I saw the numbers of the viewers for the NFL draft. I am amazed. But your Democrats, I mean, probably some establishment Republicans too, but the entirety of the Democrat establishment were laughing their heads off this past weekend when they saw all you thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of minions bury your heads into the NFL draft. And you could probably name every player from A to Z, but you couldn't name who your representative is. You can't name who your senator is. You can't name who your governor is. You can't name half of the idiots that are in the Biden administration that are making your life miserable. You probably can't define inflation. I might be being a little harsh here, folks, but it's that kind of day. It's that kind of day. But my point is, if you're going to pay attention to your football and your drafts, pay a little bit of attention to why your gas prices are $4 plus. And folks, if I'm here in the South and our gas prices are approaching $4, imagine what it is on the West Coast. Imagine what it is in the Northern East Coast. These gas prices are going through the roof. And then food prices are still going through. Inflation is still going through the roof. Everything that should be coming down is going up, up, and up, and up, and it's making your life miserable. When you go out to buy your beer and wings, maybe you used to be able to do it with $20. You can't do it anymore. You probably got to pull out a $50 bill or a $100 bill, or throw your credit up more and more by spending on your credit card. But you're not able to go out and get the things that you like to relax with, whether it's bucket of wings, a bucket of beer, or pizza, or whatever. Maybe you're like me, and you've got to have a Mountain Dew every now and then. Even though I don't have a Mountain Dew today, but you are spending so much more money to live. You've got to get your necessities before you can get to the good things that you like to relax with. Listen, I get it. I understand. I understand after working all week or working all day and just axe to the grind that you like to sit down and watch a football game or a soccer. For me, it's soccer. For me, it's motocross. For me, it's racing. I do the same thing, but you know what? I pay attention to who's causing me pain, because politicians are causing you pain. Every pain you feel right now, every burden that you have trying to meet, when you're going paycheck to paycheck, when you're making that next trip and you're dreading the next trip to the grocery store, or your wife or somebody is just, they're really, really on your case because you're running out of the necessities. You're running out of basic food and basic things to keep your family going. And you have to go to the store and you dread it. You dread it because of how much it's going to cost you. That's happening not because of Russia, not because of Ukraine, not because of China. It's happening because of Democrat policies. Your elected officials in this country that you sit back and election after election, you vote for the same person. Oh, I know that name. Or you think that you have the letter D entrenched in your DNA that you have to keep voting Democrat. You're voting for your own pain. You're voting for your own demise. And I didn't mean to go down that diatribe today, but it's true. It's true. And when I look around and I see how many hundreds of thousands of people tuned into the draft, it wasn't even a game, an NFL draft. I don't know how much boring that must have been. I'm going to probably anger some football fans, but I think maybe hopefully you get my point. You get my point. If you're willing to sit down and watch a draft for a sports team or your team or whatever, then maybe you can pay a little bit of attention to what's going on in the world around you and why you're in pain. Why are you living paycheck to paycheck? Why are you struggling now? Why 4 years ago you didn't have these struggles? Why 4 years ago you had, if you were in the South, you were paying less than $2 a gallon for gas. Then why are you paying $4 and $5 for gas right now? It's because of Democrat policies, folks. It's because of politicians. And if you take your eye off the politician, they will make you pay. They will make you pay. Because you're not just losing freedoms and liberties. You're losing the ability to live. And they want to talk about jobs. Oh, we're creating jobs. No, they're not. They're just forcing you to get a second and a third job. Some of you out there are having three jobs and four jobs to make ends meet. That's not the American way. That's not the United States. But help is coming. Help is coming, folks, because you know what? I am Victor Armendariz, and this is the On Point with Victor show, and I am the Mexican not afraid to be American, and I'm the Mexican not afraid to vote Trump. So, all right. I'll get into more things of the day. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the new candidate series that we're going to start today. But I saw this come in. Now listen, you guys know I am a lover of music. Love, love, love music. My musical taste will surprise and usually does surprise everybody because I can go from the Spinners, to Neil Diamond, to Charlie Daniels, to Toby Keith, to Iron Maiden and Megadeth and the Ramones all in one sitting. I'm all over the place. Anthrax, Suicidal Tendencies, The Misfits. I love music. And I love it when the punk scene starts to act accordingly. Because too often today we see these bands and these musicians that are all jumping in with the establishment. You know, in my day, back in the Ramones and the punk day, you go back to Sid Vicious, and they were against the establishment. It was cool to be against the establishment. But then somehow, over the time, it became cool to vote Democrat and to be 100% establishment. And now some of these artists are waking up. And in fact, let me just do this right now. Let's do this. This is the On Point with Victor show, and this is Cherry Bomb. This is the Runaways. For those of you who don't know, this is the band Runaways, old band from way back when, and very punk. Their lead singer is Cherry Curry, and she came out the other day, and I mean, folks, I let me find this quote because if I don't read it, I'm going to get it wrong. So I want to make sure. But that song, Cherry Bomb, who doesn't love that song? And if you're not familiar with it, go YouTube, The Runaways, and you can find that song, Cherry Bomb. It's in a few movies. I'm sure you've probably heard it and you didn't even know it was punk, but it is. Let me tell you, so the lead singer for The Runaways is Cherry Curry. She came out the other day, and here's what she wrote. She tweeted out or X'd out or whatever they call it these days. Now that Twitter's not Twit, it's not Twit, it's X. Well, anyway, she wrote this. It used to be punk, R&R, to vote Democrat. I fell for it. But when your party demands you live in fear, squalor, beyond your means, just buying groceries, gasoline, disrespecting our veterans, our police, our elderly, supporting criminals, chaos, riots, Hamas, failing Israel, demeaning us at every turn, hurting our children, wasting our money, ineptitude with every policy, lies and more lies. Well, no more. The Democrat Party can kiss my, and she says A-double-S. I'm just going to say derriere. And then she goes on. They don't give a darn, but she uses another word. And then she goes on. That's true. Voting Dem used to be cool, but now it just makes you a fool. That's Cherry Curry, punk rock singer, lead singer of the band Runaways. Now, she gets it. She gets it. And again, I don't know at what point it became cool to vote Democrat, but it, that's the way it's been for quite a while. And that's the way the music industry's been. Even with some of my beloved punk bands and even some of the good bands today, they've been running and playing footsies with the establishment. I think it's because they think that's where the media is, and for them to sell records, they need the media to like them. They don't care, apparently, if the people who listen to the music like them. They want to be liked by the media. They want to be loved by the media. Well, it looks like the punk world is waking up, because Cherry Curry, I couldn't have said it better myself. Cherry Curry, I don't think, could have said it better. She nailed it. She nailed it. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, Cherry Curry, the lead singer of the old band Runaways, punk band, who used to vote Democrat, she says right here, it used to be punk. It was considered punk to vote Democrat. And you know, way back in the day when this started, I might be able to see that, because the conservatives, the Republicans were considered stuffy rich people, and the Democrats were actually considered, yeah, they actually want to help blue collar. You know, back then the Democrats still loved this country. And they would never stand with Hamas. They would never stand with students calling for the death of America. But that's not today. That's not today. And thank goodness that these punk singers like Cherry, she's seeing it. She's opened her eyes, and she's not afraid to say it. She's not afraid to say it. I mean, Cherry Curry of the Runaways put this so beautifully. It used to be punk to vote Democrat. But when your party demands you live in fear and squalor and beyond your means, and just because you're trying to buy groceries and you're trying to buy gas, and then your Democrats are disrespecting your veterans, they're disrespecting police, they're disrespecting elderly, they're supporting criminals, they're supporting chaos and riots, and they're supporting Hamas over Israel, and then they're hurting children. And what she means by that, look, I'm gonna dive in here, because I can tell you what she means without saying it. And these are my words, not hers. But when she says hurting children, she's talking about this trans movement that's targeted towards children. She's talking about cutting the members off of children and putting drugs in children to forever change the way they can live, the way they'll live. They'll never, these puberty blockers, I'm pretty sure, I'm confident she's talking about that when she talks about hurting children. But again, those are my words, not hers. She just says hurting children. The Democrats are hurting children. I know what she means by that, and you should too. Wasting our money, ineptitude with every policy, lies and more lies. And then she says no more. The Democrat Party can kiss my derriere. Well, good for her. Good for Cherry. And I love the way she ends it. I love the way she ends it, because she said, you know, voting Dem used to be cool, but now it just makes you a fool. It just makes you a fool. And she is 100% right. So I tell you what, kudos to Cherry Curry. You know, I love that song. The Runaways have some great tunes. So if you want to go investigate it and see it, you can go and listen to it. Go look her up and listen to it. It's just awesome, awesome, awesome. So, all right, folks. So if you have any other questions about, and I'm going to slide, for those watching on the webcam, I'm going to slide over here a bit, because today we're kicking off the, series, with, you know, sitting down with a candidate, the candidate series, because this is an election year. And I've got, oh my gosh, folks, the headline today, one of the headlines today is Trump has been fined $9,000. And Greg, I'll bring you in here in a second.
I haven't seen
Trump was fined $9,000 by the judge for violating the gag order.
I did see where the judge was mad at him.
Oh, absolutely. And now the judge today, this morning, threatened him with incarceration. I say this. Please put Trump in jail. Please put Trump in jail, because the Secret Service has to go with him, and the Secret Service isn't going to want to sit in jail. Please do it, though. If this judge single-handedly wants to get Trump elected in 2024 in November, please go ahead, put him in jail. Trump needs to call his bluff is what he needs to do.
A bigger fan of his.
Yeah.
Through all of this.
A lot of people have, Greg. Me included.
You know, he has stood up to such hate and disrespect that, they've tried to trump up these charges, which the Justice Department and the rest wouldn't even try him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they've tried to turn these misdemeanors into felonies.
Even the Democrat, the officials at the DOJ turned down this case that Bragg brought in New York. But the Democrats have gotten more emboldened than ever. And they know a New York jury, look, anyone who doesn't think he's going to get convicted in New York, I think they're crazy. I would probably put it at a 2% chance that maybe one person in that jury can cause a hung jury, but I wouldn't put money on it.
I would go for the hung jury.
I hope so. But I don't count on it, because we're talking about New Yorkers, Manhattan jury. So I'm afraid they're going to convict him, but I think it's just going to help Trump in the long run. But, like everything else a lot of people don't realize Ron DeSantis was winning, was ahead, well ahead in this primary in the very beginnings. Until the first indictment. And when that first indictment came, that's when Trump took off, and Trump hasn't stopped going. And now Trump is reaching numbers, Greg, that, these are things we can talk about, but I probably should introduce you.
Yes.
So, look, ladies and gentlemen, this, like you all, you know, I don't do guests very often, but we are in an election season. And when a candidate wants to come on, I do not have a problem having a candidate come on so we can learn what their plans are for a better America. Just like when I opened the show and talked about what every candidate, including Trump, they need to be talking about a better America. I no more talk about 2020 and all that. I wouldn't even talk, if I was Trump, I wouldn't even talk about the court cases. I would just focus on a better America. What's America going to look under a second Trump term? But now, as it's not just Trump on the ballots now, we're going to have lots of other people on the ballots. And one of those people is going to be Gregory Howard. And Greg is sitting here with me now, and we're going to talk about his campaign. And Greg, you're running for Georgia State Senate District 7.
District 7.
So,
as I like to say sometimes, Senator, State Senator, 007.
007. I like it. And that should be part of your campaign. Full disclosure, I've actually known, how long have we known each other, Greg?
At least 10 years.
At least. And ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this, before we get into the meat of all this, Gregory Howard, sitting right here to my left, is probably the reason I'm sitting here now hosting this awesome show. No, it's true. Greg, you used to have a show.
I had
called
a show.
News and Views.
Gregory
Howard. And, it was because in 2017 in January, I think you called me up to interview me, or maybe it was before that.
You were running, and I don't remember what.
For Congress. I ran against Hank Johnson.
He ran in the fourth.
Yeah.
And I called you, as we did for every campaign that we could get people in. Mm-hmm. And I had to show folks that ran on 6 ABC network stations.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, we were able to draw in everything from presidential candidates, but we also had a very hometown base from where we started the show. And so I would bring candidates in. And, Victor came in, and he was such a delight when he came in, and energetic, which is a lot of fun. And then you got to be one of my co-hosts.
Producer Brett's laughing because he probably thought they probably didn't know what to make of me when I came in there.
Then you became one of my co-hosts.
Yeah,
if I
that's
had
right.
To leave.
Yeah, I sure did.
And, that show helped several people get their start.
I know of a few that it did.
Yeah.
I know.
Unlike Victor, I'm not really good at you know, he can do things when carrying the show without guests that I can't. I'm an interview based. Mm-hmm. But we had a lot of fun. We brought in, I was bringing Garland Favorito, folks.
Oh, yeah.
And, yep. 15 years ago when everybody was calling him a crazy mm-hmm. wacko, and I would look at what he was arguing, and he was dead right in the law. Mm-hmm. And no one was listening to him, and so that one's played out pretty well.
It sure did. I mean, I still get his emails, and he's spot on a lot of things. So.
And that was what that show was about, was you know, we had a lot of people who were that came on, that were on the edge. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a constitutional conservative, but I've owned startup. I've forgotten how many startup companies I've mm-hmm. done. And so, but I've also, you know, I've been an activist. I run the Gwinnett County Republican Assembly. I've worked, wow. you know, at the national level and state level for the NRA, won mm-hmm. awards for them. And you go through, and I worked with one group, Enough Georgia, that was a civil rights group. And right. then I worked, you know, with Paul Nally. I was
right.
a ghostwriter.
Oh, I miss Paul.
You know, and so I worked Paul. With Judge Nally. Yeah. And so I've got a history of activism, you know, not just talking about doing
right,
this
right, you actually do.
I've been on the front line mm-hmm. of this with so many organizations, and on top of that, if you're in the military or your military families, I spent 8.5 years as chairman of the board of Operation Homefront.
Wow.
Taking care of military families. I founded United Military Care.
So you're actually a candidate that puts your money where your mouth is.
That's it. And I spent years, you know, nearly 12 years on the radio beating up on them. And finally, this one came about that they did not have a candidate running. The GOP didn't have, mm-hmm. couldn't fill the seat. So I said, well, I'll run. And so the funny part about that is I was just getting over a surgery, so I had a halo on right. on my leg.
Oh, I know
and
what
so
that's
I had
like.
To wear a I had to wear a kilt because I couldn't put pants on.
Right.
So I had to wear a kilt down
to the
Capitol.
Scottish.
I became Scottish and went down and people were going, you know, you must really want to do this if you're, cause it hurt. You know, it was mm-hmm. hard. I had 11 pins going through my leg and my Ooh. Foot holding it together.
Wow.
And had been in that thing for months. But, you know, Victor's right. I've been on air beating them up, but I've also been chairman of mm-hmm. the Gwinnett County GOP. I
right.
was also what they call the over 80s chairman for the Georgia GOP, which meant that I was the chairman of the collective of the largest, 42 largest counties in the state. So I've been on both sides of it.
Right.
And a lot of what I talk about is, you know, I'm a hardcore constitutionalist. But I've been involved, and I really have going in. I've matured to the point now of doing all this that I really want to be a statesman, because there are a lot of people that are backing me mm-hmm. who I've argued with for 20 years because, you know, I've always tried to play relatively fair.
Right, right.
And so, I have people that are helping mm-hmm. in leadership, and yet I have the constitutionalists and the patriot groups, you know, on my side as well.
Well, you know, Greg, one of the questions I was going to ask you is how are you going to bridge? Now, I speak sometimes on the show, and for those of you outside of Georgia, just let me tread on your attention span, because all of these things we talk about here in Georgia are not just going to affect Georgia. They will affect everyone outside of Georgia, even though this is a state seat that we're talking about. Listen, what goes on in your state is going to reflect on the federal level, because if you control your state, you can have more impact on what happens on the federal level. But we're got to get close to a break here, Greg. But when we come back, I want to get into more debt. But what I was going to ask you, and think about this during the break.
Okay.
Because what I was going to ask you is how are you going to bridge the gap between the establishment GOP in Georgia and the conservative wing, the Trump voter, the conservative voter, the constitutionalist voter? I consider myself a freedom loving American first before anything else.
Absolutely.
And so, I really want to know what your idea is on bridging them together, because if there's probably one person that's argued with everybody in those groups, it's been you. And so I want to see. So, folks, listen, stay tuned. Trust me, this is going to be interesting. And then Greg and I will get onto some of his issues that he wants to see pushed forward. And we'll get into some of the news of the day, and we'll just get Greg's perspective. Because I trust me, I know he has one. So, all right, folks, we will be right back. This is the On Point with Victor show.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/americaswebradio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@americaswebradio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the americasbroadcastnetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And folks, we are back. This is the America's Web Radio. I am Victor Armendariz of the On Point with Victor show, and the Mexican not afraid to be American. Listen, real quick, before we get back to Greg, this is an awesome listener who just pointed out to me that I should have mentioned this, but also in the Runaways was Lita Ford and Joan Jett. And Greg, you probably know the Runaways. Right. You are another music lover. Yeah. Cherry Curry. I'm telling you folks, if you're not familiar with Runaways, look them up and listen to them. And then this listener who knows me all too well, this is a listener, Greg, that's been a listener of this show since I started. And he just pointed out, he goes, Greg, before you got here, I was talking about how astounded I was that so many people watch the NFL draft. They won't pay attention to the politicians that are hurting them, but they'll pay attention to an NFL draft. And this listener pointed out that if it were World Cup soccer, I would have been sitting there watching. And he's right. So we all have our vices. But my point was, Greg, that if you're going to put the invested time into your hobby of watching football or anything like that, you really ought to also put in the effort to pay attention to what politicians are doing to you.
Well, I can't remember who said it. He said, if you don't pay attention to politics, but politics will pay attention to you.
100%.
And, you know, you've got to have something that you watch, like the soccer or football.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody's got to have an escape. I get it.
Somebody just this last couple weeks, one of our more intellectual actors said, you know, somebody asked him about watching TV, and he says, I'm not really interested in watching the moral decay of our society.
But he'll act in it.
It's a check, right? Right. But, you know.
Wow. It's not wrong in a way.
You know, looking at how you're going to thread. I got to really thread a needle here. Mm-hmm. That's why I talk about being, a statesman. I've argued with these people, but I am a constitutionalist first. Perfect. First rule is you go by, is it constitutional? Mm-hmm. The next rule, is it needed? Needed, whatever it is it needed? And the third is by doing whatever that bill is, does it place any unneeded or unwarranted burden upon the citizens?
The citizens.
Oh, financial or otherwise, on your rights. Mm-hmm. You know, most people don't realize this, but across this country, I did this research when I ran for Congress a couple of years ago. There are over 28,000 new rules, laws, regulations placed upon you between your local, state, and federal governments and agencies every year. No wonder people feel squeezed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a big part of what I want to do is reverse some of these. You know, there are, it's like unaccountability of some of these administrative offices, you know, even though I won't have any ability with this one federal, but any of them within the state where the agencies are implementing rules that weren't approved by the state legislature. Mm. Now, I don't know of a whole lot of that that's gone on, but that's where I'm going to look for feedback. You know, I've got lots of people like you and others that we know out there that will send me information. And I've been around in all this long enough. I remember when the Republicans took control of the constitutional offices and the legislature in 2006. Mm-hmm. They used to have one day where every one of them would come in with laws that needed to be, or parts of laws that needed to be repealed.
Right.
They don't do that anymore.
Wow.
And so, you know, we've got to be seen as addressing that. You know, over the years, I've worked with, in some of my activities, I've worked with groups that are very untraditional for a Republican to work with. And I've helped, a gentleman who was the founder of Justice League United on some cases with Paul on civil rights. So it's really about working for the people as best you can. But if you stick to that rule, and one of my other foundations, you remember I used to say this on the show, which was freedom is your ability to go out and do whatever you want to do. As long as you don't affect my rights, person, property, or religion, jump up and down and have a great day.
Have a great day.
You know, yeah. I don't want to care if you want to dress like the Mad Hatter at
home. Yeah.
You know,
right.
And another big issue is, and this has been, you know, I talk about it, you know, about smart economic growth. And that goes not only for Gwinnett County, but it goes for all of Georgia. You know, improved education. Georgia's still 48th on education.
It's sad.
In the out of the 50 states. And
it's the Democrat cities that are dragging us down,
right.
But go ahead.
And then, and, you know, ensure public safety. And those are the easy ones. When I got involved 30 years ago, the same top five issues are still issues.
Greg, I got to stop you there because what you just hit on is something that I talk about all the time. So being of Mexican descent, and I have a lot of minority listeners and friends, and it blows my mind the number of minorities that will continue to vote for the party that has never delivered for them. I mean, you just mentioned four or five issues that were issues 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they're issues today.
Violence.
And these people will go out and vote for the same Democrat.
Right.
So how do you break through that?
You know, this, as we were talking off air, you know, the Trump, or before Trump, people seeing these things happen, you know, the injustice happened to, you know, to him. And they're relating to it.
100%.
And it also takes somebody, like one of my big issues that I worked on with, Justice League United, and I worked on with Paul Nally, was, you know, there are ways I want to empower citizens to be able to fight back without me. And one is to help restore your right of presentment to the grand jury, which I'm, outside of Paul, I'm probably one of more knowledgeable about this.
Yep.
But, you know, your ability to challenge them, and you have the right. It's in the U.S. and in the Georgia Constitution. In the U.S., I'm going from memory. In Georgia's, it's Article 1, Section 1, Paragraph 11.
Okay.
If my memory's still right. And you have the right to go around the district attorney and go to the grand jury. And in every attempt that Paul and I have tried, we've been blocked. And I'm going to take up the banner to get that brought down, because you taking back control of your state school, of your county school board, or, you know, being able to challenge and go whatever the issue is and go to the grand jury for your county against your county commission or against a millage increase or any of this has been blocked for over 100 years. It's that important, because at that point, when you can do that, you don't need me. You're going to start working on self-government again.
Exactly.
And
well, what a concept.
What a concept. So, you know, there's other things like, there's a 1964 Supreme Court decision, and it's the New York Times versus Sullivan. You know these people that got arrested, that go to challenge their school board or the county commission? Yeah. You know that's a felony against the school board for ordering that and against the sheriff's deputies who arrested them?
We need to know these things.
And so somebody's not up there telling you about this and advocating for you to come out and force this with your district attorney because this is a federal law. So you have rights that have been taken from you, and they will tell you that they're not yours. And that's my biggest advocacy of all of this, is helping to restore your ability to not need me, you know, down the road.
Right. You want to be
that's
a representative, a representative of the people who actually want to get back to self-government, so that you're not the powerful one; the people are.
Yeah.
And what a concept! There aren't many politicians, Greg, that would sit here and say that, but I'm glad to hear you say that. And you mentioned things, and see, this is why we need good people like Greg, and why we're going to need Donald Trump. When you have the FBI, who to this day. We know we have terrorists in this country that have come across the open border. We now know we have Hamas living in college campuses and on college campuses. We know that there are terrorist sympathizers, and what happens to a terrorist sympathizer? They eventually become terrorists. And this is going on inside of our country, but yet the FBI, Greg, will still look at the cameras and tell the American people that somehow white people are the evil ones. Somehow there's a white person hiding behind every light pole or tree that's going to jump out and get you. But you mentioned the schools. You had FBI investigating parents who just wanted to get involved in the schools. If they want to investigate somebody, they might want to pay attention to the terrorist activities going on in the colleges.
This is the problem of the current administration and the Obama administration turning the Justice Department into a weapon. My father was actually a ranking special agent for the FBI, he would have never dreamed of
what's
this.
What's happening now?
You know, so I grew up in that world listening to that. And there are laws like I'm actually proud. Chris Carr came out. I saw him this morning, gave a statement about how University of Georgia, they're shutting down these terrorists up there. But they're not going far enough. You know, with the people that I've talked to out and about, literally 99% are saying that these people are immigrants, they're foreign born. One should lose their student loans. Oh, two, they should, and if they did any act of violence, they should be removed from the country. They should be, you know, deported. And so before everybody gets up, there was a 1951 law called the McCarran-Walters Act, which gives the government the authority to do this. And so anyone that's here legally or illegally that's not a citizen, there's 8.5 pages of things you cannot do under that federal law and get to stay in the country. Plus, if you were just recently naturalized, you're actually on probation the first 10 years.
Wow.
And so under those, you can be sent back to from where you came. And it's once you're convicted of the crime, it's non-judicial process. They don't have to ask another court for it. So there are laws that are there. We just don't use them.
We don't use them.
And
because politicians are afraid of opposites.
Well,
in a lot of ways,
it's that's the problem is grow a pair.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, really, you know, and just like with the utilization of McCarran-Walters Act, there's other laws, but they leave the good people alone who don't do things that are, you know, going, getting in line, trying to become citizens. It leaves,
like my father did.
It leaves them alone. Yeah. You know, if you're not causing gang activity, violence, rape, I mean, incest, acts of moral turpitude, felonies.
Yeah, what's going on today is a slap in the face of my father. I mean, my father, who's about to turn 90 years old, who still is 100% there and still drives, which is more than I can say for our current president. But you know, he had to wait in line, and he got his student visa, and then he re-upped his visa, I don't know how many years, until he became a citizen of this country. And when he did, he held up his passport. You wouldn't believe, I'll never forget the joy in my father's face of becoming a United States citizen. When I was growing up, Greg, from an infant toddler to teenager, my dad didn't even want to teach me Spanish because he said, you need to be an American first. And I never forgot that. Never forgot. I had to learn Spanish out of necessity because all my family couldn't speak English. My dad was the only one that could speak English, and my mom. But all my uncles and cousins and grandmothers, they all spoke Spanish. So, but anyway, Greg, this is great. We already had a listener pipe in. I'm not going to say the name of the listener, but I believe they're in the Gwinnett school. Let's just say they work in the Gwinnett school system, I think. You just got a new fan and voter.
Thank you.
So this is good.
You know, my entire goal of this service is, you know, my companies don't do business with the government. I've been doing this. I did radio and all this for years, and I've been chairman of the party, and my biggest battle has always been getting them to uphold, you know, the foundation of what we're supposed to try to be.
What the purpose of government
is. The purpose is, you know, and I'm a minimalist when it comes to government. The federal government actually does about 86% of everything that the federal government does is not authorized under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution.
Amen to that.
You know, and as Victor knows, I have studied our law. I've studied federal. I'm studying state higher. It's keeping everybody in their lane. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what the other big issue is, and even though we don't have a problem with this yet in Georgia, it's always keeping your eye on the ball financially. Mm-hmm. You know, Georgia has been one of the best states to do business in. And
you know why? Because we haven't allowed Stacey Abrams to get to claim her throne.
And, you know, it has stayed there, but we need to maintain it. But we've got issues on that I've talked about. Mm-hmm. One of the big ones that's going to upend our growth is going to be water resources. Mm-hmm. And so I've got ideas there, and I'll break those out later. But
you're going to dig another lake?
Well, we actually, I don't know if we can anymore, but there were 25 years ago, there were 11 more spots where they could have put reservoirs in Georgia, and I bet all of those are now
homes.
Right? Yeah. Well, you know, I don't even know if you remember this. There was a plan to put an outer perimeter.
I do remember that.
And that's all developed now.
Wow.
And so, you know, we've got to do some things that are,
We have to look forward.
I haven't heard anybody talk about it. You know, there's a border dispute with Tennessee. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, I did. I've heard about that.
And so, you know, it would give us access to the Tennessee River.
Well, I say this, and this is actually a question coming in from a listener that I'm going to get to right after this, but this is going to lead me to that. I say that if we settle the dispute with Tennessee and they were able to get rights to that, is it the river or the, what was it that border dispute? There's a,
I forget the actual distance, but it would give us shoreline on the Tennessee River.
So we'd get a little shoreline. I think if we get that in turn, we must become like Tennessee and get rid of our state income tax. Which leads me to the listener's questions. Will you fight to get rid of the Georgia income tax and go to a sales
tax? You know, I got
to
tell you a funny story about that. I got interviewed by, quote, a journalist who, when I brought up looking at using the Georgia, getting rid of the income tax and property tax, because as long as you're paying property tax, you don't own your property.
Exactly.
You'll find out real quick. I'm a libertarian. And I said, brought up going to the, or I'm a,
Constitutional libertarian. That's what I tell people. I'm a conservatarian.
Get rid of the the state income tax. Mm-hmm. And his response was, it would never work. And I said, what about Florida, Arkansas, Tennessee, Texas,
New Hampshire, Texas?
And I started going through the list, and he says, well, the jury's not out on those yet.
That's you got to be kidding me, Greg.
And so I called him a leftist, and our interview didn't go that well.
He's mad at you now.
He's mad at me, so I didn't get the endorsement.
I mean, it's insane, but this is the kind of these leftist people, they don't like facts.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, these are the people that believe in their truths. I mean, Greg, the best run states in this country are states with no sales tax.
Right.
I mean, with no income tax.
Well, no income tax, but I also want to look at including the property tax in that.
Yeah.
Because that is, here's the thing there. It may end up being a hybrid because who's going to fight that harder than anyone to keep that in place?
Oh, the
property tax.
I mean,
Listen to this, folks.
Yeah, listen to this.
Any clue?
I will tell you that, well, first of all, every politician is going to fight getting rid of the state income tax. But when it comes to property taxes, your local cities are going to fight.
It's not the cities. It's going to be the school boards.
Oh, right. The school boards, of course.
You got to remember, because 60% goes to the school board. Right. And they're...
Well, I have some opinions about that.
And so if we could at least get rid of the state and local portion, because the school boards, but they did a thing called Proposition 200 in California, and I'm going from deep memory here, about 20 years ago, and they changed property tax to where, because as you get older, you can't have property tax being the reason that people that have lived there 30 years are losing their home.
Right.
And so outside of San Francisco and other areas, when the tech boom hit, you had people who'd lived in their homes for a couple generations, had farms. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to look at things that at one of my ideas would be something, around the age of 65, it stops increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the age of 72 or something,
It goes away.
You don't pay it.
That would be a way to help the elderly now.
Right.
Instead of this pretend Social Security thing that they pulled
and so
over the elderly.
You help, you do that for those that have been in their homes for all these years and you help them keep their homes.
Wow.
Because they're outside of their prime earning years.
Right.
So there are ways to do this, but going to the consumption style tax version, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And get as much of it into it as we can.
Well, we need it in Georgia. You know, one of your things you talk about, I think it's on your card, and I know I wrote the note, was smart economic growth and to help Georgia. And Greg, I cannot think of any better way to help. As you mentioned, Georgia is on the front. We're one of the best run states. Imagine how much better we could be if we didn't have a state income tax.
And it was just a couple of years ago, I for the second time, I helped fight off MARTA coming into Gwinnett County.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly just because the buses are empty. We spend...
But you know what they're going to call you.
Right. And, mostly because, one of our commissioners, a Republican and a Democrat, just took a ride on the Gwinnett County Transit to go downtown. It took them 3.5 hours or worse each way. To take the transit.
Mm-hmm.
When I fought off MARTA coming out, it was about, the densities on the road, the fact that the buses are almost always empty. The problems with metropolitan traffic is that why don't we have rails and passenger rails? Well, all of those cities across Europe and in Australia and other places that have them, the cities built up around rail traffic.
Right.
Now we've got to cut through neighborhoods put all this in.
We would have to use an intimate domain like it would never be used before.
And a couple of my uncles owned a big construction firm. And I remember when I was a kid going into their offices and they had pictures of when they were cutting through Atlanta to put 75, 85, mm-hmm. and 20 through.
Wow.
And you could see where they were bulldozing down the houses.
Wow.
With the view of the next neighborhood to be taken down.
Pete Buttigieg said that's racist.
And so, with cars are getting smaller, but we have to, back to the smart growth, is in the last couple of years, you drive around anywhere in metro Atlanta and the number of high density part of apartments and up larger density and the more compact density of economic growth. We may have to take a look at what the percentage or how much of that high density is in every county in the state and spread it out a little bit. And all of these things are, because one of the things you don't want to do, believing in the constitutional, is, somebody can use their property as they best see. But we do have some issues because what happens as you get into density problems is that, okay, the cost, you have to have supply more water, your sewage.
Power.
Then you just added another, you put in a big two or three big apartment complexes. Now you've just added another 1,000 cars to the road,
mm-hmm.
potentially.
Right.
And so are the decisions we're making going to make things worse?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that is going to take a lot of looking and research.
Yeah, there really needs to be forward looking and not just living in the moment. But again, most politicians don't look at the future going, what can we do that's going to be better for the people when I'm not here?
Right.
They're looking at what can I do to obtain the most power I can get while I'm here and then leave power for my family members. I mean, it's,
you know, having served in a number of political positions, one of the things that was the most powerful was by actually leading the group, you know, to do things,
mm-hmm.
and empowering the group, and we've pulled off some amazing things. But you know, I had several people. You know, you saw. I gave a lot of people credit for all the stuff
yeah,
that they did. You
absolutely.
Know, I used to say, you know, this group over here did things, and
mm-hmm.
and I go, I'm still chairman.
Right.
and what happens is you empower people to make things happen.
To make it happen.
And,
well, that's what a good CEO does. That's why
right.
I think Trump does so well his first term policy wise.
Well, and that's just it. You know, you can only be so many places. And
mm-hmm.
so you can get a dozen people working on issues that you trust who
right.
take it the right direction.
That are competent.
And guess
not
what?
DEI hires.
Right. and so you end up, you know, you're still chairman.
Yeah.
You know, it happened under your watch.
It happened under your watch.
So we've got to have a bigger, broader view of making things happen.
Mm-hmm.
This, the whole, but we have some real issues where some of the mistakes of allowing, you know, unfettered growth
mm-hmm.
are going to come back and bite us.
And bite us if we're not careful.
If we're not careful because, you know, we are already having water issues.
Yeah. And it's like anything as a country, you better be expanding your energy base and our grids. And we don't. We don't do it on a federal level.
Gosh.
And thank goodness Georgia was smart enough, and it's because of Republicans, that we actually built a nuclear reactor here.
Actually, the fourth one at Vogtle went online this last weekend, and it makes us it gives us the largest nuclear resource for a state.
This is clean, sustainable, reliable power, and the Democrats hate it, Greg. They hate it. If they had got their way, that would have never happened.
I've actually, you know, you talk about how they want to make gas furnaces and get all this,
and
they're actually looking at making putting down the natural gas pipelines into your homes illegal.
Wow. It's crazy what they're trying to do. Greg, I'm going to jump forward a little bit because we're running out of time.
Okay.
As usual, we run out of time so fast. I did have another listener. You may want to put this on your website or say something really fast if you can. He wants to know how your thoughts on zero budgeting. I'm probably saying that wrong. Zero-based budgeting,
which means it starts over every year.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a longer one.
Is it something that you would get behind?
Zero-based budgeting, yes. But the biggest thing is right now is to start trying to get some of these departments to cut.
To go away?
To go
that's
away.
That's music to my ears.
Or start cutting back because... with the federal government, they're so past being brought in unless Trump really comes in and takes a hatchet.
And starts taking
the state we're pretty good. So
okay. Yeah. Well, Greg, real quick, because
we do need to concentrate on that, getting rid of everything
and getting
that's
rid
wasteful
of anything
that
we can. I love it, Greg. That's perfect. So that's music to my ears. Listen, as we get to the end of the show here, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Gregory Howard. He's running for State Senate District 7. If you are in Georgia, look him up, because if you can't vote for him, I'm sure you can help him in another way. Greg, give out your website and how can they find you?
It's just super easy. It's Gregory Howard for State Senate.
GregoryHowardForStateSenate.com.
And if you like the way, you know, please vote for me. And if you can't, send resources, because being a constitutionalist, it's
It's
I need public support. I need public support.
You're going to need the support. And folks, listen, just like it's hard to find good people to run for politics, and Greg is one of the good ones. So look him up, support him, do what you can, vote for him, give him some resources, do what you can. So, all right, folks, that's the end of the show today.
Thank you.
Tune back in next week. Thank you to Greg. And folks, we'll be back. Stay tuned. Locked and Loaded is up next with Roger B.
And content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.